going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 202, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Obviously, May the 4th be with you, which was one of my least favorite things of all time. I don't know why people do it all. It's just so dumb. I do like the bobbleheads, though. As you got a Giancarlo Stanton, May the 4th be with you, Star Wars bobblehead at the stadium yesterday. Of course, no Stanton. It does sound like he's going to start hitting off live pitching, though, so any month now. We should expect Stanton back. Who knows? And that's the problem with both with the Yankees right now is the injuries and their starting pitching. Is obviously ugly. May the 4th be with you for both teams. The Mets, after getting winning the opening game of the series and kind of having another offensive explosion on Friday night, get rained out Saturday and drop both games against the Cardinals on Sunday of a doubleheader. And the New York Yankees, after winning Friday night, on the back of Max Fried, who's been unbelievable. I mean, where would the Yankees be? I mean, they've won every one of his starts. And I mean, they're under 500 on days that Max Fried doesn't start. So he has been huge for them. So has Paul Goldschmidt, who hit a three-run home run that won them the game. But the Yankees' back-to-back series losses against the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. And there's a lot of different things to discuss. Obviously, the injuries are killing them, right? They don't have, Chisholm, who's gone down with three different oblique injuries. Volpe gets his shoulder hurt late in the game on Saturday, which was a killer loss. The game Saturday probably hurt more than the game Sunday. The game Saturday, they had an opportunity to win that game. Yarbrough steps in. There's another injury right there. They have to push back Clark Schmidt. That scares the hell out of you. That's really the main thing. Like, we can get down to breaking down the games, and I will if you want, and we'll get to the Boone decision, which I think is overblown, although I disagree with him. This is where my Yankee shill comes out, because I disagree with what he did. I just think that's like the reaction to having a, like, when Mendoza does something we disagree with, which I think you could argue leaving in Tidwell as long as he did, you could disagree with. You could disagree with any move that doesn't work, I suppose. But whenever we disagree with the Yankee manager, it's that he's a moron who has no idea what he's doing. And that we laugh at him, and that his logic and what he said in the postgame is just doesn't make any sense. None of that is true. Everything Boone said in the postgame and his logic makes perfect sense. I just happen to disagree with him. But every time he makes a bad decision, it's like, oh my God, what an absolute moron and a disgrace, and he's the reason the Yankees will never win a World Series. Like, it drives me absolutely up a wall. But I got to stop focusing on that and just tell you what I think, and I think Boone made a mistake. We'll get to that. But really, the problem is with this Yankee team, right? And we'll get into more specifics. But the main thing right now, and I'm frustrated with these two series, and I'm frustrated with the way they played. But here's the bottom line. This isn't the team. Like, they're dealing with so many injuries right now. They don't have Jazz. Volpe goes down. And by the way, Volpe, I love him. And I've talked up his defense all the time about how great defensively he is, even during his offensive struggles. I know he was injured the play before. But as great as he is defensively, Volpe has a real bad tendency of making errors at the worst freaking time late in the game. It happens a lot. Obviously, a couple times for Clay Holmes. He was terrible behind Clay Holmes last year. And he has an opportunity. I don't know if it's a double play. And that's why I don't know if it necessarily wins them the game on Saturday making that play. I have a feeling the run still scores from third. But Volpe boots a ball that has an opportunity to end the inning and give the Yankees moving forward to still have the lead. He's been having moments like that, but he's not available in this game. You've got Jazz, who's now on the IL. The infield is a complete mash unit other than Paul Goldschmidt, who's been great. Cookie Carrasco is not a major league starter. Will Warren is proving, unfortunately for him, despite having pretty good stuff, he doesn't trust it. He doesn't attack enough. And he was not very good yesterday, and I don't know if he's a major league starter. So when you think of it, right now, they've got Clark Schmidt just coming back from injury and already having a soreness in his shoulder or whatever it was, soreness in his side, rather, and he needed to be pushed back, and hopefully he'll start Tuesday. But you've got Reyes in the lineup. You've got Vivas in a big role right now. You've got no Giancarlo Stanton. Hopefully he'll come back. Like, this team, we could say whatever we want about it, and certainly Bellinger's been disappointing. Jazz before the injury was even disappointing. Volpe's been disappointing. I'm not telling you it's a great team. What I'm telling you is despite all its flaws, this is a first-place team. A first-place team that is not nearly what it's going to be when it comes down to competing for a championship. They have the deadline, and they have a ton of guys coming back. In the bullpen alone, they have Cousins, who's going to throw tomorrow to Giancarlo Stanton, apparently. So you got Cousins coming back. You obviously got, I'm losing my mind. The other hard thrower who's hopefully coming back, Jonathan Loaisiga at the back end of the bullpen. You have Luis Gil, who's coming back. They're going to add somebody at the deadline. You've got DJ LeMay, who at least, and I'm not thrilled about DJ LeMay, don't get me wrong, but at least he gives you a serviceable backup. They don't have anything. That's part of the reason why Boone made the decisions he has. He has nobody. He's got nobody on the bench, and he was carrying dead weight in Anthony Volpe. There's nobody on the team. Reyes sucks. Vivas is just getting started as a prospect. There's nobody on this team. There's no right-handed bats. Cabrera sucks right-handed. And everybody's making a big stink. We can get into this maybe a little bit too. Everyone's making a big stink about Dominguez and how many games off he has. Well, right now, the one place they've got a bunch of guys is the outfield, right? Grisham's played so well, he needs to play. Judge can't sit. He's the best player in the world. And you're trying to get Bellinger going. He's got to be a big part of the offense. And Dominguez stinks right-handed, so he's going to get days off right-handed, and he's going to get the occasional day off against right-handed pitching where he'd hit left-handed just because you're trying to circulate the outfield. Like, right now, the team is incomplete. And maybe they never become complete. I'm open to that. Maybe the injuries keep piling, and we never see a complete Yankee team or anything close to it. But it's hard to get that upset, and I'm upset that they lost these last two series. I am. And there are certain things that are troubling. But certainly for the Mets, it's hard to get upset with how well they've played, even though it's been a bad 10-stretch game. And even for the Yankees, as ugly as it's been, and, you know, the record right now at 19-16, I believe. Let me just double check. It's 19-15 or 19-16? 19-15, rather. I'm sorry. 19-15, two games up in first place without two-thirds of a rotation, without an infield, And with big guys missing in the bullpen, including and your top closer that you brought in a trade, is just finding himself after having the worst stretch of his entire career.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Like, that's where the Yankees are right now. When I look at the Yankees, I don't see the team that they're going to be moving forward with. They have a bunch of stuff they need to fix, don't get me wrong. And all the things that might be that I'm expecting to come back might not come back or might get hurt again or someone else will get hurt. But right now, they don't have Jazz. I don't even know if Volpe's going to play. They still don't have Stanton, who's probably a month away at least. They still have Cookie and Warren in the rotation. Like, it's hard to win games. It's hard to win series when... two of the three starters, I don't care who it's against, Tampa Bay or anybody else, is Ryan Yarbrough and Warren. Or Warren and Cookie Carrasco. Like, it's tough to win that series when you have two deadbeats throwing the ball. So the Yankees need a lot, and they're still in first place by two games. Like, if they were 9-15 and six games behind a scorching Red Sox team, who, by the way, everybody told me was better. Oh, no, the Red Sox are better than the Yankees this year. Red Sox are better than the Yankees this year. And they have a better manager. So they got a better team and a better manager, and yet two games worse at only .500. But I'm sure there's reasonable excuses for them. The Yankees, it's all Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. And I'll get to the Aaron Boone thing, which to me... I mean, sometimes it gets a little nonsensical to go over every situation, but Aaron Boone in that inning, in the eighth inning, like, with bases loaded, nobody out, to me, made a big mistake. He's got a scar coming up. Bases, they're down four runs. It's 7-3. They're down four runs. Bases loaded. And up comes the backup catcher. You have Rice on the bench. You have Wells on the bench, obviously. To me, that's the at-bat of the game. Right? That's the at-bat of the game. That's the at-bat where if you put in Rice or you put in Wells, they're forced to pitch to him. It's bases loaded, nobody out. They have to attack your two of your best hitters there. One of the better options. Certainly you put up Rice, which I think was the intention. You put up Rice, you got one of your better hitters this season in a big spot, bases loaded. To me, that's the inning. You get a base hit there, you get something there, now you're off. Like, to me, and he talked about waiting to bring up Rice later in the game after decisions went a certain way because he waited until Rice was the tying run. It is the tying run there. It's the tying run. It's bases loaded, nobody out. And to me, that's the swing point of the inning, and I can't allow it to be killed with a double play by a weak-hitting backup catcher. Like, I can't let that happen. Now, I know you're not expecting a double play, and worse than that, you're not expecting a 1-2-3 double play, which is the worst freaking case scenario. But in my mind, that's a mistake. I want to attack right there. But having said that, I understand his logic. People go crazy and act like he's not making sense. They don't have Anthony Volpe. They've already pinch hit Vivas Ferreyros, who's up next. They don't have another infielder. Escara is the last infielder they could put up. So if you pinch hit for Escara, that's it. You don't have another move. If Wells goes up there, or Wells or obviously Rice goes up there and strikes out or pops up, I don't have another move to pinch hit for the lesser hitters than even Escara. Reyes has zero hits heading into that. Vivas has zero hits in his career at that point. And then you got Peraza after Cabrera. Peraza stinks against right-handed pitching. Escara is, of those three players, Escara, Vivas, and Peraza, who Cabrera sandwiched in the middle, and that's who he ends up pitching him for. Like, those three hitters. Escara is the better hitter. He's the guy who's had the better spring. He's been better. I do trust him over those guys. I just think the spot right there is to go attack and try and win the game and make a big hit, and I'll live with what you have to do with after that. I want the impact moment right then and there with nobody out. That's when I want the impact moment. But the idea that it's crazy or it makes no sense or his excuse doesn't make... People get all hung up, why not catcher for catcher? It's not about the catcher. It's not about who's going to catch next inning. They do have Rice or Wells to catch. It's about who's going to play the infield. And he wanted to pinch hit for the lesser hitters. Because if Escara strikes out or pops up or gets an out, you're going to have Rice there for Vivas. And it's going to make sense because Vivas is the worst hitter compared to Escara. It's crazy. They're both the same. He's just had more at-bats at the major league level, so he trusted him. Like, it makes sense. He doesn't have anywhere else to go. And then once the double play comes, it ruins the inning. The double play ruins the inning. Now the tying run isn't at the plate, so you're not going to pinch hit for the home run. Then Vivas gets the hit. And once he does that, and now it's a tying run again being brought up to the plate, that's when you pinch hit. And they walked him to pitch to Peraza, who couldn't be pinch hit for. I get it, but you know what? If Cabrera makes the last out and we never see Rice, we're all complaining about that too. The double play ruined the inning. Escara, with bases loaded, nobody out, could do almost anything else. And the Yankees would have and Aaron Boone would have a reasonable option that we'd all be okay with moving forward. The double play kills the inning. That's on Escara. I would have pinch hit for him. I understand why he didn't, and it makes sense. I just happen to disagree. I put more value on that at bat with the bases loaded, nobody out. You're getting the tying run at the plate. You're getting everything you want. Go get it. I disagree with Aaron Boone strongly. I'm not letting Ascara blow the inning with a double play. I'm not doing it. I want my best guys there now. He could hit into a double play, even if it's just a normal double play and a run scores. It's better, but it still kind of ruins the inning. I don't want to ruin the inning before my better option has a chance to break the game open or get back in the game. That's where I disagree with him. But you're all getting confused with the idea, what do you mean he doesn't have defense? What do you mean? It's a catcher for catcher. It's like you're not getting it. Aaron Boone explained it perfectly in the postgame. He made plenty of sense. He's just wrong. He's not stupid. He's not incompetent. It's not that it doesn't make sense. It's not that, oh my God, he's talking nonsense. No, he's talking sense. He's not an idiot. He's just wrong. I disagree with him. And it was a frustrating loss, and it's back-to-back frustrating losses. But I got to be honest with you. Maybe when you consider expectations and the injuries that they got devastated with right before the season started and they continue to get devastated with, I have a real tough time. And call me whatever you want to call me. Call me the shill. You have a better argument with my pushback on Aaron Boone than you do with the success of the Yankees. They're two games ahead in first place. They're 19 and 15. Before these two series, they were six games over 500 and on pace for 94 wins. The rest of the American League stinks. Everyone thought, oh, the Texas Rangers, they're better than the Yankees, the Texas Rangers. They're 17 and 18. With a run differential of minus 18. The Athletics, the A's have a better record. The A's have a better record. The Seattle, seven games over 500. Oh, boy, that Seattle Mariner team. No way the Yankees could beat them. Oh, the upstart Detroit Tigers. They're a solid team, 22 and 13. Okay, they can't beat the Tigers. Like right now, the Yankees are a shell of themselves. They have nobody. They have two pitchers in a rotation that don't belong in baseball. They're still waiting for a bunch of guys to come back, and there's the deadline. The team that you are watching on a daily basis is not the team that is going to compete for a championship. And yet they're still two games above 500. Four games above 500 and two games ahead in first place. Like, it's hard to be that upset. Even though I did not like this last week. And we talk about this all the time. The record against the bottom tier of the division is uber important. And despite, you know, winning three or four the last time they played Tampa and winning two out of three against Toronto and still having a winning record in the division as of right now, losing these last two series in the manner in which they lost them is extremely frustrating, and things better change, and they better figure out what they're going to do with these injuries. I don't know how long Jazz is going to be gone. I don't know what the significance is. I know all the stuff has come back clean for Volpe, but there's an issue there. And right now, they don't have better options until Luis Gil comes back to help in the rotation. And that's the problem. You want to talk about the problem with the New York Yankees? Yeah, the offense isn't as good. Bottom of the lineup has no, and especially now without Jazz and Volpe, bottom of the lineup stinks against right-handed pitching in particular. But to me, it's every two out of every 5 days you're throwing incompetent starters. That is the major problem with the New York Yankees right now.
May the 5th now, but yeah. In honor of May the 4th, these are not the Yankees you'll be rooting for.
There you go.
That's the force be with you, right?
It is. All right, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. If you want to break down that Boone decision any further, we can. You can call me whatever you want, the Yankee shill. This is where my shill does come out, I have to admit. Because even when I disagree with him, I feel like I have to back him up. I'm an Aaron Karen. That's right. Maybe we should do a segment. Aaron Karen. Because that is, I have to admit, I'm fair in my criticisms. I understand who I am and who I'm not. I disagree with Aaron Boone yesterday. I flat out disagreed with him. I tweeted it immediately. I disagreed with him. But then the reaction I see, and I know, but from podcasts and from everything, like, the reaction is he's a moron who has no idea what he's doing. I'm like, his postgame made perfect sense. I understand exactly what Aaron Boone was saying. Every move Boone makes is the wrong one. Every move.
It's like the overreaction that he's incompetent is so silly. He made a decision I disagree with. Every manager does. Taurus in Virginia Beach, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing fine. I got a question, Chris.
Yeah.
The Celtics and Knicks. I'm going to get off the baseball real fast.
That's fine.
The Celtics and Knicks.
Yeah.
What do you think about the game tomorrow? You think we could keep it close? We could pull it out?
Well, listen, just not to confuse me, it's later tonight, because that's a bad habit I have of this as the overnight host, calling it tomorrow and yesterday and today. So the game later tonight, can they... And I'm... Oh, Taurus, you got all kinds of bad feedback. I'm sorry, buddy. Do I think they can keep it close? Yes. I think they can win the game. I think, you know, there is a world where they can win the series. It's not impossible. It's very difficult, and the Celtics are very good. But, yeah, they're going to have to keep it close. And the main thing for me is do not allow as many open threes. I think that's the key to, certainly the key to keeping it close. Right? When they have been blown out by the Celtics, it has been a damn three-point barrage. If they want to keep it close, the number one, without question, focus on the Knicks. Like, to win the game, you could start to argue they'll need this, they'll need that. But if they just want to be in it and not be blown out, the number one thing they have to do is limit the open threes. Okay. Let's try. Taurus called back. He had another point that he wanted to make, which is fine. Just that background noise was rough, buddy. So I'm going to give you another chance. What's up, Taurus?
I'm sorry about this, sir.
No worries.
I got another question.
Yeah.
I heard Giannis bought a house in the Hamptons. I'm just saying, if I was Nolan, regardless of what happens with this series here,
yeah,
he should not leave New York City. If he is out in the Hamptons, he needs to be on the Knicks next year. Because how do you feel about that?
But how do they do it? What are they going to? Give Milwaukee?
That's a good question. But I'm saying, if he's going to come in your backyard and get a home in your backyard, he's sending you a message.
Well, I mean, we have seen this game played before, Taurus. I appreciate you. We've seen guys buy houses here, there. I haven't even seen the story. I'll take your word for it that he's buying a house in the Hamptons. But I love... What do you mean? Like, how are they going to get it done? What do you mean? He's living in the Hamptons. Well, what about they have to get Milwaukee? Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Milwaukee has to agree to it. Now, listen, we've all seen in the NBA players force their hand and, you know, get to where they want to go. But the Knicks traded away all their premium picks over the next however many years. And I don't know, like, what could they do? You'd have to trade. Would they take Karl Anthony Towns? I don't know. What do you do? If it's possible, sure, I want Giannis. He's arguably the best player in the Eastern Conference. Like, I'm in. But how do you do it?
You make Nico Harrison the GM of the Bucks.
If only. Then maybe it's plausible. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. And I don't want to get into wishful thinking, man. And again, here's the other thing, too. You can call me up with anything, right? I'll be totally honest with you. I'm transparent. It's 225. You want to call me, I'll take your call. But let me just ask you this. All right. What the hell are we focused on what the Knicks are going to do in the offseason? Like, why would that be our focus? This series hasn't even started. And I know it's unlikely that they win it. I know Boston's better, and Boston has owned them. And this is going to be a very difficult series to win, and I'm not going to tell you I think they have an excellent chance. They don't have an excellent chance. They have a chance. I don't think... I always think it's every team has a chance. Is it likely? No, it's extremely unlikely the Knicks win this series. I'm on board. I'm with everybody else. I have common sense. I watch the games. Like, I get it. It's going to be very difficult. But I'm not going to get into what the Knicks need moving forward. I can't do that yet. Can we get through this series? We'll have forever to have that conversation. From the minute they lose until the minute free agency starts in the NBA or whatever else, like, we'll have plenty of time to talk about how to make the Knicks better. Right now, we're focused on this series against Boston. How do they win this series? Because I can tell you for certain, whether he bought a house in the Hamptons or whether the Knicks have enough to get him, Giannis ain't helping this series. He's off at home making a dartboard of Halliburton's father. Like, he's busy. And he's not going to be playing for the Knicks in the next, hopefully, 7 games. Let's go to Easy in Hackensack. What's up, Easy?
Hey, Chris. How are you, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Everything is great, man. Thanks for taking a call.
Thank you for making it.
Everyone's all over the place. Yeah, Giannis can stay where he is. Who cares where he buys a house?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd love him on the Knicks, but we're not there yet. We're still at the point of how do the Knicks beat the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, that's just with some grit, and let's have Brunson share the ball a little bit. But you missed your pal there give you a really great Star Wars reference. These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah. It did go over my head a little bit. Now that you said the droids we're looking for, it did spark my memory of the movie, yeah. I just laughed and I gave you the nod like I got it, but I didn't get it.
But I wanted to say, you know, he really deserves that.
He's right. That's a good one. I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy. I'm not, but I do get the reference. These aren't the droids you're looking for. When he just said,
never saw a Star Wars movie.
Well, I have seen them all, but. Actually, no, that's not true. I haven't seen the last one. I didn't care enough to watch the most recent one. But the old ones, certainly. I watched all of those. And
what do you mean 4, 5, 6, 8, verse 3?
I remember that day. That was great. All right, good. I'm sorry, Easy. Good.
Oh, no big deal, man. I'm having fun, too.
Yeah.
Listen, Gleyber Torres should not have been taken off this team. You know what I mean? They really were short. In the past 2 years, you lost Soto, Rizzo. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you just gave away Gleyber Torres.
Well, Rizzo isn't even picked up by another team in Major League Baseball, so that one doesn't hurt as much. And Goldschmidt has been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But, well, I'm not saying keep Rizzo, but I'm saying that's three hitters. Those are three guys, and Gleyber had a hell of a postseason.
He certainly did.
Couldn't do it, so now you're kind of feeling that sting a little bit. And
I guess he's kind of had some injuries, too, there. He hasn't played a ton of games yet, but he's been good. In Detroit so far, he's too. I had enough of the Gleyber Torres experience. I love him. He's a homegrown Yankee. I know people get all upset about that. Whatever. He came up from the minor leagues with the Yankees and never played anywhere else at the major league level. To me, he's that's good enough to call him a homegrown Yankee. I know he had a couple of years in the minors with the Cubs. Whatever. I don't have to get into that debate, but. Like I'll always love Gleyber Torres. He's my guy. But enough. I'm sorry. And we'll see what happens with Detroit. Maybe he has a great year. He was so up and down. Now, he was great in the postseason. Almost all postseasons. But it was time. He's so terrible defensively. Jazz has been far better defensively. Now he's hurt. He could have played second and Jazz could have been at third. It would be make the team better right now to have another right-handed bat, no doubt. But I still was done with him. He was so inconsistent, even offensively. He was terrible defensively. The lack of hustle at times and the inability to change that. Because I'm sorry, Boone benched him. Boone yelled at him. Boone talked to him. And still we had issues. It was just time to move on from Gleyber Torres. I felt I can't kill Brian Cashman now. I was on board with it. I was on board with letting him go. And they could have got him cheap on a 1-year deal, no doubt. Absolutely. I was on board with letting him go. It felt like his time with the Yankees had expired. I was ready to move on from Gleyber Torres. Now, they should have brought in a third baseman. That's my major problem. It's not so much that it had to be Gleyber Torres. You know, we saw what happened with the Mets in this doubleheader. You got my guy, who I've been clamoring for in Arenado over and over again, his numbers are okay. He had a hot stretch for a time. It's come back down. His numbers are average, Major League Baseball average. He's not been spectacular offensively. But we saw in this series how great defensively he is. He makes a great play on a bouncing ball coming in barehanded. Then he goes out and lands on a couple of young kids into the stands and makes a great catch there. He's great defensively. He's a right-handed veteran bat. I know it's a lot of money, and I know it's a couple years, but, I mean, we'll see. As of right now, I feel like they missed the boat on getting Nolan Arenado. And I think that he could get expensive at the trade deadline when they could have had him for just money. Now it's going to take prospects, but we'll see. But I think the Yankees are going to add, and they're fine now. They're floating. Like, again, I'm not saying they're a world-class caliber baseball team right now that I would feel, hey, put them on the... And we're going to see against the Padres coming up. It's going to be a tough series. Padres are really good. We'll see how they hold their own. Right now, it seems like they're in a... I'm concerned because I don't know if Volpe's going to play. Jazz is gone for a while. I'm not even sure how... let's see if Clark Schmidt makes the start. Thankfully, at least you got Rodon and Fried in this series because those are the two best starting pitchers by far. And thankfully, Fried's been incredible. And I talked about it the other day. We Yankee fans should give a hell of a lot more praise to the season that Carlos Rodon is having, especially when you mix in how bad Cookie Carrasco and Will Warren have been. He's been a lifesaver. He's been great. A couple of, you know, bad innings and a couple of starts. Other than that, he's been really, really good. So hopefully they'll have a chance to win with the starting pitching they're throwing out there. Judge, it continues to be incredible. Goldschmidt continues to be incredible. Hopefully Bellinger turns it around. But again, we're looking at players, especially at the bottom of the lineup and at the bottom of the rotation and even the bottom of the bullpen. Jonathan Loaisiga is coming back. Cousins is coming back. He's going to start throwing tomorrow. Like, those arms are better than what we're seeing. And right now, Cruz has been unbelievable. He's moving up the pecking order. And you're getting better from Williams, who's hopefully turning it around. And if you look at that bullpen with how Cruz, who leads the MLB, all relievers in strikeouts, like right now, Leiter is your seventh, eighth inning guy. He's going to be down in the fifth, sixth inning. You've got Jonathan Loaisiga coming back. Cousins coming back with his right-handed slider. Cruz is working his way up the pecking order. And Williams and Weaver, they're going to have an excellent bullpen, and they're going to hopefully make a move for a starter. I'm not telling you it's going to be an ace. It might not. It probably won't be an ace, but it'll be a serviceable starter that's better than Cookie Carrasco. And they're going to have to find more right-handed bats, and they might not be all-star bats, but they'll be better than Reyes, and they'll be better than Peraza. They're going to make some adjustments. This is not the team moving forward, and yet still two games up in first place over the Boston Red Sox team that everybody told me was better.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 240. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. And the Mets as well drop both games of a doubleheader, have opportunities to come through with the big hit. They can't. The one that bothers me the most, obviously, you know, Soto's going to get a lot of flack for this, right? And the Soto conversation has gone up and down in different ways. And, you know, he's been much better. I mean, he hit the two home runs the other day at Citi Field for the only two runs the offense scored that day. You know, he's having a somewhat decent year. He's having it's on the bottom of what decent is for Juan Soto, but it just hasn't felt the same for whatever reason. It hasn't felt like Juan Soto of last year. And that is not, I'm not trying to be a Yankee fan I'm not trying to make this about that. It's just a fact. It felt a little different. The Yankees got off to an incredible start, so have the Mets. Juan Soto got off to an incredible start and was carrying the team while Judge was struggling. Juan Soto got off to a better start, that's all. And it felt a little different. And his body language felt a little different, but it's not anything crazy, but it's led to, and I only bring that up to say it feels like that's what's leading to these conversations. What's leading to these conversations is that it was supposed to be the best version of Juan Soto coming here, and even despite winning all these games, the idea that Soto has struggled for him hasn't felt the same. You're seeing less of the Soto shuffle. You're seeing less of the smile and happiness that you saw with the Yankees last year. Now, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we saw that in Washington while they were winning a championship for sure. Something wasn't right with him in San Diego. I don't know if him and Machado didn't have a great relationship. There was a couple of things. Obviously, when he first got there via the trade, he struggled for that first half a year and then was much better his second year there. But something wasn't right there either. And I'm not even saying something's not right here. But we keep talking about this. Like, he hit the ball over the fence yesterday. It got taken back. He just hasn't been as potent with runners in scoring position, and that's fair. And he gets a bad call. He takes a couple strikes, a couple strike threes. He's struggling, but I don't know why. I guess because of his name. I don't view him as the face of this team struggling with runners in scoring position. And maybe I should. I just don't, because I know he's so damn good. He's going to come through, but he has not done it yet. He hasn't been as good. And we could talk about exit velocity, and obviously the Mets have hit into some bad luck. They had a couple of moments in this game, certainly the home run taken back from Soto. To me, the biggest gripe I would have is in game one, the eighth inning, Alonso up, he walks to tie the game. That would be the most frustrating one for me. And what I hate about that call is that it's never a strike. Not for a second. Like when I'm watching a game and I get a bad call off the zone, below the zone, whatever, like, if it's a changeup that was in the strike zone for 90% and then dips below the zone and it's called a strike, I get it, because it was just, like, I don't like it necessarily, especially against Aaron Judge, but it was in the zone for a while, or a slider that crosses the zone but then goes too far and misses outside and it's called a strike. All right, it was in the zone for a while. The strike that Alonso got was a breaking ball coming from outside of the zone that never gets into the zone for a second. That, for whatever reason, that's the strike that kills me. That was never a strike from the second it left his hand. It was never in the zone. Never going towards the zone. Like, just, it was never in the zone. That was a brutal call. And Alonso, another great series,
hits the big home run on Friday night for the big hit that breaks open that game and gets the offense going. Like, he's been incredible. But this Met team, here's the thing. This pitching wasn't going to sustain forever, and we've seen it now since the Washington series. You blew two games in that series. Diaz, who pitched today for the first time in 8 days, has kind of been unreliable with his hip, but I don't even know. We'll see what kind of issue that is moving forward. Circumstances, as much as anything else, has led to him not pitching for 8 days. And he was a little shaky when he came in, but expected if you haven't thrown in that long. Obviously, Reed Garrett gave up his first runs. Like, they weren't going to pitch this great forever. They got a bad start from Tidwell. McGill was, you know, old McGill. He really didn't, you know, he's been better this year, but the same kind of, that's a typical McGill performance that we've seen throughout his career. I mean, the starting pitching is not going to be this good forever. And the bullpen, the offense has got to start carrying him. And so far, that hasn't been the case. And they've really struggled with runners in scoring position. And now you've got Winker going on the IL. I'm assuming he leaves with a side injury as well, going around apparently. Marte pulled out of the game for, you know, getting into, which I would think Marte now is going to get a lot more playing time with Winker out. And we'll see who they call up and whether or not it's Beatty, who's dealing with some sort of foot injury, a toe injury, that he's missed some time in the minor leagues. But, like, right now it's hard. Again, like, both teams, the Yankees are far more frustrating and in not having nearly as good a season and aren't as good a baseball team right now. But it's still, for both teams, I'm having a tough time getting too upset. Like, I think the Mets, although have now lost back-to-back series and have lost 6 out of 10, I'm not overly concerned with them. Another good performance on Friday night from Clay Holmes. Like, for the most part, the pitching is still there. It's not been as dominant, but it's still there. And the offense, you know, how many hits did they get in these 2 days? They just can't seem to get that big hit that breaks open the game. But I'm not overly, and again, Juan Soto, I think it's getting ridiculous. Like, we talk about Juan Soto every day. We're kind of like, and I know he hasn't come through, and I know he hasn't been as great as he's supposed to be, but they have one of the better records in baseball now. Still, they're in first place. And they're playing pretty clean, crisp baseball. It's been a bad stretch for a week. This happens. But we constantly have to bring up Juan Soto. And I know he hasn't come through as much, and that's just the truth. And he's got to, right? Eventually he's got to. We all agree. It's a month, new team, the first month of a 15-year contract. And, you know, he's become the poster boy of a team that nobody wants, other than Alonso and Lindor, who struck out in a spot yesterday. Like, other than Alonso and Lindor, not many people have come through with big hits. Like, the whole team has struggled with runners in scoring position. It's been the story of the offense in the early part of the season, despite winning as much as they have. But I know it's going to be about Soto, and when he gets hot, we'll see. It'll be about Soto too, then, I'm sure. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, though. Limo driver Ed out in Princeton. What's up, Limo? What's up, Ed?
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning to you. What's going on?
I hear you maybe talking about the Knicks, man, but I just, myself personally, and I'm not going to say about anyone else, I don't have the confidence that they're going to win any game. I just feel that, you know, they cannot control it with the three. Boston has about 4 or 5 guys that they can hit that three.
Yep.
And I just think the Knicks just don't have it, man. Unfortunately, you know, listen, people saying a game here, game there. The Knicks haven't proven to me that they can beat Boston, you know. I mean, that's the way I look at it is. And I see a sweep. I don't see them winning the game. I just don't. Because the Knicks can't even hold a lead. They'd be up 20 points on teams, and next thing you know, they're struggling. I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it, you know. Maybe I'm wrong to say that.
No,
the Knicks are my team. Do I have faith in them? I just don't. They haven't shown nothing to me this whole year to have faith in them to beat Boston.
Well,
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, they, against the Celtics, certainly they have not played all that well. I mean, they have shown resilience. I mean, they did show resiliency in this last series against the Pistons. I know that's the Pistons, but they played well in the fourth quarter and came through and hit big shots. And Brunson is obviously one of the better, you know, closers certainly the Knicks have ever seen. And in the league right now, I'd be hard pressed to find another guy who's as good at the end of these games. But, like, yeah. It's hard to argue with you that, I mean, you want to be really pessimistic and say they can't win a game? Okay. There's definitely mismatches. There's definitely areas where the Celtics are just flat out better. And there have been issues when they play. Namely, but again, it's the playoffs. It's a new world. And that's part of it, too. Like, Knicks fans, again, you want to be pessimistic, limo driver Ed? I can't stop you. Be pessimistic driving around in your limo. I don't know what to tell you. Be pessimistic. I get it. I don't think it gives you anything. It doesn't do anything for you. I'd rather be optimistic and just look at this team and say, hey, this is a brand new season. What happened over the course of the regular season doesn't matter. And particularly if they win game one. If they win game one, who the hell cares about what happened in the regular season? If the Knicks come out and put up a good effort and find a way to win a game, who's going to give a damn what happened in December? Who cares? This is a brand new series, a brand new game. And nobody knows that more than the defending champion Boston Celtics. This isn't that those games don't matter anymore. This is a all that matters is the as many as 7 games ahead of them. That's it. And while I don't have uber confidence that they can win this series, I'm with you. Can they win a game? Yeah, why not? Anyone can win a game. Orlando beat them a game. Now, yeah, they were already down 2-0. I don't want to see that happen to the Knicks. I don't think they have a very good chance once the series would have hit 2-0. I think they've got to take a game in Boston. And I think game one is probably the easier one to take. But, like, they're going to have to do things. Look, the offense is going to have to be a little bit better. And Karl-Anthony Towns is going to have to find a way to get involved. And you know, Bridges is going to have to hit some threes. And OG Anunoby's going to have to, you know, do what he's done offensively at first in the first half of some of these games against the Pistons and keep that through. Like, again, ball movement. Do something. Come up with something. Let's see an offense instead of just giving the ball to Brunson. And we'll see. It's going to be a lot easier to get some offense in this series. I think it's going to be a high-scoring series. I don't think you're going to see any 94-96 games like you saw against the Pistons. I really don't. I think this is going to be all high-scoring games. I think both teams can score. I think it's not going to be that same type of physical defensive struggle series. I don't. But the Knicks are going to have to come out there and stop them. And listen, on any night, the Celtics rely so much on the three. Any night they go cold, you can win a game. So look, we could be all pessimistic and negative about it, but let's talk about what they can do to try and win. And what the first thing they have to do for me is limit open looks. That's it. Start there. Limit open looks and get Karl-Anthony Towns offensively. Get him involved. Get him involved early. Keep it going. And to me, it's about taking game one. Take game one. This is the biggest game of the series for the Knicks. I want to see it right from jump. The first quarter, the first half are going to tell me a lot about this Knicks team, how they want to come out, how they want to play. And whether or not they can compete with the Celtic team, because I'm telling you, if we are going to say that the regular season games matter and that they haven't shown us anything over the course of the year that makes us believe that they can beat the Boston Celtics, well, then it's probably going to look just like it did during the regular season. And what it looked like during the regular season were blowouts that were mismatches that the Celtics got a million open threes and hit them all. Like, if that's going to happen, if this is a 62 to 50. It's 62 to 48, 62 to 50 at the half. 70-60, like, I don't know if it's just like they have a ton of points, they've hit a ton of threes, and the Knicks are down by double digits. That is going to be a bad sign for me. I do not see them being able to rally the way they did against the Pistons. I do not see the Celtics going on long stretches of being unable to hit the back of the bottom of the nets the way the Pistons did at times. And I certainly don't see the crumble of the 21-0 run at game one. I certainly don't see the crumble of allowing a 7-point lead to dissipate in the last 2.5 minutes of the game. Like that, this is a championship Celtics team. Those things aren't going to happen. They're just not going to happen. And you're not going to just give the ball to Brunson and say, go ahead, figure something out and get as many points and polish off a game the way they did Thursday night. It's not going to happen. They're going to have to figure something else out. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Continue to take your phone calls. We got the Knicks game one. We got both baseball teams playing important games. The Mets out on the West Coast trying to end a snap a two-series losing streak against the Diamondbacks. Game starts tonight, 9:40. I love West Coast baseball. I like it better when I'm able to go to sleep right after. But we'll be on following that Met game at 2 a.m. And then, of course, Padres come into Yankee Stadium. The Padres, who are 22-11. Nick Pivetta, who is pitching to a 1.78 ERA, comes in against Carlos Rodon and the New York Yankees. And the Yankees coming off of two miserable, ugly series against the two worst teams in their division, losing the rubber match in both series, really struggling and just besieged with injuries. This could be a tough stretch for the Yankees. They're going to have to keep their heads above water. 888, and it starts with Carlos Rodon. This is a big start. We have talked a lot about Carlos Rodon, and maybe we will again on the 3 o'clock hour, because this is another big test for Carlos Rodon.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.